Women went to a dentist to have a tooth extracted. She asked the dentist how much it would cost. He said it will cost 75 euros. She began to grumble about the fee. 75 euros for pulling out a tooth? And she exclaimed, "And it's only a minute's work." The dentist replied, "Well, if you wish, I can drag it slowly, slowly, and take half an hour, if that helps." The scriptures have a lot to say about complaining, about grumbling. But why? Because people complain about everything. This morning, two of our readings touch on the subject of complaining and grumbling. In our first reading from the book of Exodus, chapter 16, the Israelites murmured against their gracious and loving God. In fact, our reading starts with these words: "The whole congregation of the Israelites complained against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness." In our gospel this morning, there is the parable of the laborers in the vineyard. They murmured because they had worked all day, while others who had worked for a much shorter period received the same wages. They had received their just due, but they still grumbled. What is murmuring and complaining? I would like to define it this way. Murmuring and complaining is the repeated voicing of your dissatisfaction over the situation you are in. The Greek word translated as complainer means literally one who discontented with his lot in life. Sadly, many Christians are complainers and grumblers. A lot of us don't even look at murmuring and complaining as something bad. I have seen people complaining about the weather constantly. It's hot. It's very cold. It's raining. It's not raining. I'm not condemning anyone. God didn't condemn me when I complained. People murmur and complain about their spouses, about their jobs, about politicians. We don't think of it as wrong. We think of it as normal. God wants us to know that He hates murmuring and complaining. He doesn't take it lightly. In preparing this, I was appalled, really horrified, to read what God has to say about complaining. In Numbers chapter 11, verse 1, it says, "Now the people became like those who complain of adversity in the hearing of the Lord. And when the Lord heard it, His anger kindled." God says He doesn't like it when we complain. He gets angry. But interestingly, it's interesting to note that in our first reading from the Old Testament, God didn't get angry, because it's just been a month after Israel's exodus from Egypt. They are still new to the faith. We see God's grace here. In fact, this text is about grumbling and grace. So far in the book of Exodus, everything for the people of Israel has been grace, a gift from God. They haven't really done anything. It's been God's grace. They didn't fight against Pharaoh and his mighty army by sending 10 plagues. They didn't do that. God did that. They didn't part the Red Sea that they could go through, but the Egyptians stormed. God did that. So everything so far had been a gift from God to the children of Israel. The only thing they did was to stand still. God, through Moses, said, Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which we read last Sunday. It's a lot like our salvation. It's a free gift of God. We didn't earn it. We didn't deserve it. God acts towards us favorably upon what Christ did for us on the cross, washing away our sins. That's what the Apostle Paul says. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. But this is a human tendency. We often forget what we should remember, and we remember what we should forget. We lock into certain things which we just won't let go. The Israelites forgot the grace and tender mercies of God. They saw miracles after miracles, but they were filled with unbelief. They started thinking what we were in Egypt. The Bible reveals that complaining is dangerous. It's in fact sin. First, complaining causes unbelief to deepen and grow. Jesus says in the parable of the sower, which we have in the first three Gospels, about the seed, sowing the seed. Word is like the seed. And I was thinking, unbelief is also like a seed. If you water it, it will grow. Every time you complain, you are watering your unbelief. And our words have power. Our words have power. But sometimes we hung by the tongue. Demonstrating our faith through our words and actions. Faith has a voice. There is a language of faith that is common to all of us. Faith, we know, speaks. The language of faith is praise, worship, and thanksgiving. Today, I'll be baptizing Oliver, the son of Adele and Daniel Plummer. Baptism is a sign of hope and faith we have in God. It's the outer expression of our inner faith. We express our faith through baptism. In the same way, unbelief has a voice. And the language of unbelief is murmuring, grumbling, complaining, and whining. But what is the alternative to complaining? The antidote. Some of us have gotten so used to complaining, we are not happy. It's hard to think of what else to do. What can we do in the wilderness but complain? Isaiah 61 gives the answer. We can put on a mantle of praise. Mantle is like a cape or an overcoat. It is something you choose to put on. And you can choose to put it on in any situation. Whether the circumstances are good or bad, whether the circumstances are overwhelming, we can choose to put on the mantle of praise. I think the best example is Paul in Philippi. God gave Paul a vision and told him to go to Philippi. He got there, and after a brief time of mystery, he was arrested. His robes were torn off, and he was publicly beaten with rods. They struck him with many blows. Then he was thrown in prison, and his feet were put in stocks. Paul was publicly humiliated, beaten, and tortured, yet he had done nothing wrong. This treatment was not only unfair, it was illegal. That punishment was so humiliating that Rome did not permit a Roman citizen to be treated that way. Yet they did it to Paul anyhow. Paul's response was to sing praise. We read from St. Paul's epistle this morning. We read it. Paul was actually in prison when he wrote this letter. He did not know at this point whether he would be freed or he would be beheaded. But this letter to the Philippians explodes with joy everywhere. Paul is talking about his rejoicing and commanding that the Philippians do likewise. Second, complaining cuts off your vision for the future, your plans for the future. Jesus did not murmur and complain on the cross because his eyes were fixed on the outcome. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross and despised the shame. You don't complain in the wilderness if your eyes are on the promised land. Grumblers often exaggerate how good life was when they were enslaved to sin and don't see the eternal benefits of trusting in God. The grumblers, the murmurers compared their lack of food in the wilderness with the pots of meat and the bread that they had enjoyed in Egypt. What? Wait a minute. They were slaves in Egypt, but they made it sound as if things were great back then. One biblical scholar says, the children of Israel had a selective memory disorder. A selective memory disorder. Which is actually true. They were given a meager amount of everything. They were slaves 7 days a week, making bricks for years, being enslaved by the Egyptians. But in their imagination, they are looking back to the bright spot and they are forgetting the huge dark spot, the oppression, the killing of their newborn boys. They were in pain and shame, but they started looking at the shining spot. We do the same. Now I submit that Satan, the enemy of our souls, tries to do the same thing with you and with me. He wants you to look back and remember how good it was before you came to Christ. He says, remember your golden days when you were without any responsibility. You were accountable to no one. And he deceives you so that you can be in a miserable situation. He deceives us to always look back and complain about our present situation. Or if we are young, he wants us to think about the future. But the manna, the bread, was given for daily usage. And this is what we learn in the Lord's Prayer. Give us today our daily bread. Thinking about the present, not the past, not the future. Our problem is that Satan tells us that there is no way out of the wilderness. Satan tells us, you will die in the wilderness. There is no way out. God says, follow me. I have a promised land for you. And you get to choose with whom you are going to agree. When you complain, you are agreeing with the devil that your future is cut off. Murmuring and complaining is an accusation against God that his plan for you is not good enough. But the word of God says in Jeremiah 29:11, which I quoted last Sunday as well, I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. plans for you to prosper, not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. God always has a promised outcome. When you are in the midst of the test, you can say, Lord, I praise you. I thank you for this opportunity to trust you. Dear friends, as you choose to praise instead of to complain, unbelief is cut off. You are enabled to rise up in faith to receive the promise. In the name of God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.